This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. We're starting something new today, and we hope you'll share the journey with us. We want to understand the mental health of Maryland, the issues that face people with unquiet or disturbed minds, the people who care for them, the people who live with them, the people who try to figure out how psychiatry and society can support them and pay for the care they need. Each Monday, for the next several months, we'll look at some particular aspect of mental health and speak with people who know about it, often from the inside, and people with some answers. We call this series Frames of Mind because we hope it helps us look inside and understand better how the human mind works and open up new attitudes toward mental illness. A few years ago, I came upon a quotation that struck me. I scribbled it on a post-it and stuck it above the desk at home. And since then, I've seen this same thought ascribed to one of the fathers of the Christian church and to the Sufi poet Rumi and to various modern writers. And the thought is this: be kind to everyone you meet, for everyone is fighting a great battle. As my producer Jennifer Chang and I started to research topics in mental health, I was surprised to learn how many people are fighting a battle with some aspect of their own mind. For example, a recent federal government survey found that 7% of full-time workers in the U.S. had battled depression during the last year. That's one out of every 14 of us. The widespread incidence of mental illness is where we start our series, Frames of Mind. Maryland is one of the first states in the U.S. to begin training people in how to recognize common mental health problems, such as depression, anxiety disorders, and substance abuse. The program is called Mental Health First Aid. It began in Australia 8 years ago and has been adopted by the government there and in Scotland, Hong Kong, Singapore, Canada, and Finland. And now it's coming to the U.S.
Members of the public are much more likely to come across someone with a mental health problem than they are to come across somebody who needs help because of a cardiac arrest.
Betty Kitchener had her first psychotic episode as a teenager in Australia. Later, she became a registered nurse and with her husband, a scientist, developed the idea of mental health first aid at the University of Melbourne.
A mental health first aid course does differ to a regular first aid course in that it's not just about crises, because most people do not travel along well in their life and then suddenly have a mental health crisis. You don't just suddenly wake up suicidal or through the day suddenly become acutely psychotic. It develops, and it's only when they're in dire distress in a crisis does the sufferer and the people around them say, oh, this is what's been going on there for a couple of weeks.
Kitchener and her husband, Professor Tony Jorm, were invited earlier this month to train a group of Maryland health officials. Jorm's research shows a big knowledge gap between what the general public knows about mental health and what professionals understand.
And if you look at common or major physical illnesses like cancer and heart disease, the public have enormous knowledge about those. So if you ask a member of the public, what would you do to reduce your risk of having a heart attack? And they could tell you about exercise, not smoking, you know, obesity, diet, reducing blood pressure and medications for that, reducing cholesterol and medications for that. They could tell you, you know, what to do if somebody had a heart attack or angina and what some of the treatments are. They'd have extensive knowledge. Same with cancer. But I began doing research on this in the 1990s with people in Australia, the public in Australia, and realised they didn't have the same degree of knowledge about mental illnesses. Even though we know a lot about this area, it's not in the public consciousness.
Jorm has also studied mental health first aid training in rural communities and in the workplace. He concludes that involving community members may be the first step toward treatment before a visit to a psychiatrist, psychologist, or general practitioner.
And I think we can get to the stage where, say, every high school teacher has to have a mental health first aid certificate. Easily, every police officer have training in this area. You know, correctional prison officers, people in work for unemployment agencies, people who work in welfare housing, every scout troop leader. There are so many areas where people could have this sort of basic skill and they could play their own small role in improving mental health in the whole of the community.
This is Maryland Morning on 88.1 WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast at the Maryland Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, speaking with the man who heads it, Secretary John N. Comers. Welcome to Maryland Morning.
Good morning.
Why did you invite the Australian mental health first aid designers to Maryland?
This was as a result of conversation that I had with Brian Hepburn, who is the director of the Mental Hygiene Administration for the state. We were talking following the events at Virginia Tech of what sort of response the state of Maryland ought to take. And he had heard about the mental health first aid program and thought that it would be an interesting approach to sensitize the public to the concerns of those who have mental health issues and do that as part of our response to the events at Virginia Tech. To me, the intriguing part about this was the notion of having a large segment of the population as the first point of contact for many people, in the same way that physical first aid is out there. It's great to know as you look out across Baltimore that there's at least a possibility that the people you walk across on the street are going to know what to do if you collapsed and had a heart attack or you were in an accident, what to do. I mean, we all learned certain things as I was a Boy Scout or to have taken CPR classes and getting certified on that. It really is providing almost a, if you think of it as immunizing, portions of the population so that they are out there in the event that something happens. I don't also want to lose sight of the secondary advantage of this, which is the destigmatization, the fact that you get more people to understand what are the components of mental health and mental illness, how it is exists in a community, and that it is part of a person's overall health picture.
So how do you envision this unfolding in Maryland? I mean, who is likely to get this kind of training?
Well, certainly the idea of coordinating this with school systems, with institutions that are out there within our society makes sense. But I would also like to see this spread more generally within the population. I could certainly envision large businesses taking this up or colleges taking this up and offering it. I'm certainly not at a point where we're ready to suggest that people would be required to take it, not at all, but I think the idea of making it available makes some sense.
I realize as I listen to you describe the mental health first aid idea and how it might come alive in Maryland, that one of my reservations about it would be that mental health issues are harder to identify and spot than purely physical issues.
Yeah. Well, I think part of the training is to get people to be attuned to changes in behavior or behavioral components that might suggest that there are issues going on. And again, when we talk about mental health first aid, it's not to substitute for a professional. It is largely to identify, to listen to someone, and to help get them to the services or help that they need.
What kind of cost will this be to the state?
We're working out what the economic model going forward would be for the training, what type of cost would be associated with that, training the trainers and so forth. At least initially, the cost is relatively low, and it's almost all borne by the federal government.
And what do you think the timeline is?
Our training began in January. We will be meeting again with our colleagues from the federal government and from a number of other states that have expressed interest. Maryland is the first state to do this, but there's been interest elsewhere. And over the course of the next calendar year, work to get more training done of training the trainer. The initial step was taking and translating from Australian to American the manual. And while we chuckle about being separated by a common language, part of it is important because it's not just the terms that we use that might be different, but also the systems of care are quite different between Australia and here.
What are the big differences between the way mental health care and attention is paid in Australia compared to the U.S.?
I think it has more to do with the structure of the healthcare system there and the financing that is different than here. They have a Medicare program. Primarily, their near universal coverage of health care. They do have some private insurance there. Here we have Medicare, Medicaid, private health insurance, and a substantial number of people have no health insurance. That's on the financing side. On the delivery side, again, they have a larger degree of government operated healthcare facilities than we do here. We rely on a mixed model of both the private sector and the public sector. So you just have to make sure that you're translating to the people you are training as to what the points of entry are into the healthcare system, how things are paid for. The underlying mental health issues are not different.
Secretary John Chalmers, head of Maryland's Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, thanks a lot for talking to us.
It's my great pleasure. Thank you.
More information on our website, wypr.org. This is Frames of Mind on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Up ahead on Maryland Morning, John Waters transfers another Baltimore tale from the silver screen to the footlights.